and we're shaped by those experiences that we had that we grew up with. And I wonder if you can think back to a story in your childhood that might have been foundational for how you understand the world. I wonder if there's anyone can think and might want to just call one out or say. Or just hold them in your head. There's pictures of deserts and wilderness that's going on behind me for you to just to look and as part of, you know, focusing and listening. It might give you some visual imagery. I was thinking about stories that I grew up with. The stories often about being good, about what the right thing to do was and the right thing, the way to be seen in the community was. And I think my poor dear mum, who was very introverted and very quiet, struggled with this raging extrovert who wanted to talk to every person when we went for a walk anywhere. And my mum would sort of spend quite a lot of time going, "Helen, shh, Helen," or "Family, hold back," was her wee line. But I didn't do so well at that. And I think our theology is similar to that. How we understand God is the same. When you first become aware of spiritual things, maybe that's from growing up in a family with a faith tradition or coming to faith at a different stage in your life, our beginning experiences create foundations that our understanding of who God is and how God works are built on. But we may find, for heaps and heaps of different reasons, that these foundations can get upended. It might be that they no longer feel the strong place to build that they once were. It might be that we want to move on to a different foundation to continue building our life. Or it may be that something happens that shatters these foundations and we can no longer stay there. This Lent, I've been reading the devotions put out by Richard Rohr and the Centre for Action and Contemplation that are based around the theme of the desert, and exploring the journey of the Israelites as the lives they knew as slaves in Egypt were upended and they wandered the desert wilderness in the book of Exodus before entering the promised land. It was a journey from slavery to freedom, but it was also long and difficult and challenging and unsettling. And I wonder if this morning we can explore a little of the journey of the Israelites in the desert wilderness as part of our faith journey to embracing a more Christ-like God and a more beautiful gospel, which has been our theme for this series. Our faith isn't static. When you think back to the way faith formed you in your life, be that from your childhood or coming to faith as an adult, we can look and see ways that our faith has changed. Like the Israelites in the Exodus, we are journeying towards the promised land, but the journey is for our whole lifetime. And like the Israelites, that journey is a long and windy wandering through the wilderness of life. The Israelites left Egypt, escaping the clutches of slavery, being chased by Pharaoh's army, and when they were finally free of that place, they danced and sang and celebrated. They felt like they were free, and from then on, it would simply be living into that freedom. However, we know from the story that the escape from Egypt was just the beginning of 40 long years of wandering through the desert wilderness. And the wandering was hard. They struggled, they complained. God felt close, led them with a pillar of cloud and fire. And God felt distant, and they felt abandoned. They fought with each other and with themselves, and they laughed and they sang and they celebrated and lived together. They found manna and hope, and they were satisfied. And then they complained because it was the same every day. They murmured and complained and even longed to go back to Egypt because even though their lives were so difficult there, they were slaves living under an oppressive regime. At least they knew what to expect. And this journeying was so full of uncertainty and fear. It is such a picture of the way we go through our lives, isn't it? The Israelites thought they knew what to expect. God had rescued them from slavery, and surely the next step was the promised land, the land of freedom. Finally, life was going to be okay. It was all stretched out before them. It was going to be just as they hoped. Their foundation was that God would rescue them and bring them to a place of freedom. And there was truth in that. It just didn't happen quite as quickly and easily as they had imagined. And we can be the same, can't we? Our foundation might be that God hears our prayers and answers them. And we believe there is truth in that. So we cry out to God to take us out of this tough time. And we think, surely that's the end of it. Done. Me and God, we've got this. Until it isn't. When I think about foundations, I think about the Christchurch earthquakes. Last Sunday was the 15th anniversary of the February 22nd earthquake that changed a lot of our lives. Our literal foundations were rocked and split, and some of them even destroyed. We were living in a city in houses with firm foundations, and then we learn we are actually living on many dried up riverbeds, and when the earth strikes, shakes, the foundations can crack and liquefaction can rise up and overwhelm us. As I've been remembering the earthquakes, I've been remembering how I felt. There was such a feeling of uncertainty. When there was an aftershock, our bodies filled with adrenaline. I got sweaty feet and sore teeth. Was this a big one? Were we okay? Where were our people? What was going to happen next? I remember feeling like that even when it was just a truck or bus driving past our house, when everything wobbled and that fear welled up in me again. I was at a meeting on Monday night with Ruth, and we were in 51 Island Road, and a truck or bus went past, and Ruth was like, oh, what's that? Kind of, you know, not that dramatically, but we've got used to the feeling of that then, but it just reminded me of how it felt like so often way back then. I get that feeling too sometimes when I'm watching something that has a connection to the earthquakes. Mike and I recently watched the movie Tina, which begins on the morning of February the 22nd, 2011 in Ototahi, Christchurch. And I had the same feelings of dread and uncertainty roll through my body. And I have to acknowledge that for many people, their experience of the earthquakes was so much greater and more huger than mine was. Mine was relatively simple. We didn't even lose power in our house, and I know others lost it for months in their whole houses. And some people, those experiences are still ongoing. People live with grief of loved ones who died, of physical injuries that still cause so much pain, years of struggle dealing with EQC that may not even have come to a satisfactory conclusion. The aftershocks continue in their lives. But that feeling of uncertainty, it's not a comfortable or easy feeling. And that can be what it feels like when our faith foundations are upended. When something that we have built our life on doesn't feel as secure and solid as it once was, our lives can feel a little bit lost in the sea of uncertainty. And I imagine that was where the longing to return to Egypt was for the Israelites. They were longing for that feeling of certainty. At least they knew what to expect when they were in Egypt. I wonder what some of the foundations of faith that may have changed over the years for you. Rachel Held Evans tells in her memoir, Faith Unraveled, of one of the first earthquakes she experienced on her faith foundation. In the Iraq War, she saw some footage of a young woman who was about to be stoned. And she thought, if I follow my faith to its logical conclusion, then I think that person might have gone to hell tonight. And that, for her, was a really disturbing thought. And as she reflected on this, she realised that the God of love that she grew up knowing and worshipping didn't match the theology she had grown up with, that every person who didn't make a personal decision to follow Jesus, even if they'd never had the opportunity to hear about Jesus, would die and go to hell. This led to her exploring her faith foundations, and she found that some no longer worked for how she understood God in the world now. Claire spoke last week of the invitation to experience God in the contemplative spiritual practices as a shift from ways that she had experienced God in the past. I remember one of my first experiences of foundations shifting was when I read The Life of the Beloved by Henri Nouwen. And I remember too reading What's So Amazing About Grace by Philip Yancey. And the idea that there is nothing that I can do, no amount of my being good, will make God love me more or less. And how life-changing that was for me at the time. For some, it might be the foundation of gender roles. It was not long ago in our tradition, and indeed it still is in many churches, that women were not allowed to serve as elders or pastors or standing here doing what I'm doing today. If that's your foundation, then Island Baptist might be a challenging and uncertain place to be. I feel the foundation wobble at the moment when I think about the music and musicians of the worship music we sing in church and I've grown up singing being used as the anthem and song leaders of the Christian nationalism movement. I find that a really uncomfortable place to be. Some of these foundations need to move. We need to move from a faith that is aligned with white supremacy and racism to following the brown-skinned Palestinian Jewish leader of our faith more closely. We know that a more Christ-like faith and a more beautiful gospel leads to the flourishing of all people and of this whole world, but we acknowledge that the crumbling of the foundations we once hold dearly can be really unsettling. What began as a beautiful foundation has deteriorated over time and needs to be undone and rebuilt, and it is a challenging and sometimes painful process. So I was wondering what got the Israelites through those 40 years of wandering in the wilderness and what got us through the foundation challenging earthquakes. How do we keep going when we feel that prickly feeling of uncertainty rise up in us? When we speak of a desert wilderness, we tend to think of a dry, barren, lifeless land, but we only have to watch a David Attenborough documentary to know that even the desert wilderness is teeming with life and potential. Each morning, the Israelites went out to find manna and dew covering the ground, food and water to sustain their journey that day. I wonder if we are being invited to notice glimpses of life and hope in the wilderness around us. A small one for me this week has been listening to U2's new music. On Ash Wednesday, they released an EP called Days of Ash, and it reflects my experience of the world at the moment in a way that I found really deeply connecting. And Mike played the song Eternally Yours, and I think we listened to it about 20 times that evening. U2, Ed Sheeran and a Ukrainian band sing a song of hope for the Ukrainian people. It's a song that lifted my eyes above the prickly feeling of a wobbly world to a hope of peace and love and humanity caring for each other and for our whole world. For me, it was a sign of hope in the wilderness. Faith is living with mystery. It's the very nature of faith. We are not God, and there is so much we don't understand. Maybe the invitation in our wilderness is to dwell in the mystery and to live with the uncertainty. I was thinking that an example of a faith shift that our community has undergone in the last few years has been the journey to becoming an affirming church. It's been a process that we have changed how we understand gender and sexuality, and that we want to be a spacious and safe community for everyone, anyone, to belong to. And that has involved letting go of some of our understanding and finding a new foundation to stand on. We've followed many others on this journey. We have learnt from so many different people. And I was thinking about the theologian Richard Hayes, who went from writing a book in 1996 called The Moral Vision of the New Testament, which is used by many people to justify a non-affirming stance, to writing a book in 2024 called The Widening of God's Mercy, Sexuality Within the Biblical Story, with his son Christopher, where he changes his mind from where he previously sat. It's a life-changing space to be. One of the life-giving realizations on this journey through the wilderness is that we don't do it alone, and Rochelle alluded to that earlier. The gift of a church community is that we are journeying together, and that means when the feelings of uncertainty threaten to overwhelm me, maybe I can lean in to you. Maybe you will whisper the words to me that we say when we dedicate a child, that you are loved and wanted, and there is always a place for you in God's family. Or maybe someone will share something on the bar stool that means I don't feel quite so alone. Or when I see someone smile at me when they say the words of our island benediction, I will experience the deep peace of Christ, or the strong arms of God, or the power of the Holy Spirit even. And I will remember that God is with me today, right where I am. And that is the key for us, isn't it? We follow the way of Jesus, God with us. God who intimately knows what it is to be human, to feel uncertain and scared of what is to come. God who is present in our ordinary day-to-day life, who is there when our foundations shift, whether it be because we are moving on or because we're thrown into a new space and because we need to take a new look at a foundation that might need taking apart. The deepest foundation for me is that God is love. And that is what I hold on to whenever everything else around me feels very wobbly. Can you put the this PowerPoint up? Thanks, Josh. It says in Isaiah 35 that we will find hope in the wilderness. The wilderness and the dry land will be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and shouting. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who are of a fearful heart, be strong, do not fear. Here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. He will come and save you. When the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be opened, and the lame shall leap like a deer, and the tongue of the speechless sing for joy. For waters shall break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. The haunt of jackals shall become a swamp, and the grass shall become reeds and rushes. A highway shall be there. It shall be called the Holy Way. The unclean won't travel on it, but it shall be there for all God's people. No traveller, not even fools, shall go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed will walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be on their heads. They will obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing will flee away. And that's our hope. So as I stop speaking now, I want you to invite you to take some time to reflect. There might be some discussion that you want to have. You might want to chat about things and places that your faith has shifted. So I wondered if maybe if people wanted to over this side maybe hang out and chat for a bit. You might like to talk about a faith foundation that changed for you. You might like to share what initiated it and how it felt going through that time of change. What helps you to get through, and what does the foundation look like for you now? Or you might like to sit by yourself in your seat with one of these breath prayers. In desert wilderness, on the in-breath, you are here, on the out-breath. Or, I wrote this one, when my foundation is wobbly, I hold on to the God of love. You might have a different one that you like. I also have this a tray up here with a candle in it, so it's got sand and shells in it. You might like to come up and sift the sand through your fingers as you think of time spent in desert wildernesses. You might like to take a shell or a stone to remind you that God is with you in that space. So we're just going to have it quiet for a little bit, apart from the little bit of chatter here. And then to finish, we're going to play U2's new song, Eternally Yours, before Rochelle leads us in our next part of our service. Is that okay?